Righto. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 7 and just the first 12 verses. Page 961. You all look like you've got it. Alrighty. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Well, I should have also said, welcome back to John Watson. I hope you didn't lose Fiona overseas, but I'm sure she's okay. Good, good. Yeah, and we'll catch up on all of John's news at morning tea. Our passage today, Matthew 7, 1 to 12, as Rob said, it's chock-a-block full of well-known sayings for Christian and non-Christian alike. I don't pretend that I will be dealing with everything, but let me pray as we come to this famous passage. Father God, we pray that you will speak to us from your word, encourage us, challenge us, enlighten us, change our hearts, and give us the strength to live the way that you would have for your glory and for our benefit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been said that Aussies are a country of knockers. We can be quick to criticise. We make jokes about others and their faults. We suffer from the tall poppy syndrome and only want to bring others down. Well, in Matthew 7, Jesus warns his audience about judging others without applying the same standard to themselves. So we read in verses 1 and 2, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is the besetting sin of the hypocrite. It is easy to look at others and to see their faults. Just ask any person in a relationship. And our standards of judgment can be quite high. But if we want people to be judged, then look out, because that standard will be applied to you. The remedy, of course, is to start with oneself rather than with others. And Jesus is saying we have a need for a proper self-awareness. And it's what job interviewers think too. You know the scenario. You've applied for your dream job. You're in the interview, it's going really well, and then the dreaded question comes up. What is your greatest weakness? Well, we know that answering this question can be a challenge. Get it right and you've considerably boosted your chances of landing the job. Get it wrong and that position that you dreamed of flies out the window. If you're applying for a job to be a computer programmer, you don't say your biggest weakness is computer programming. You might say something like, "Oh, I'm not good at delegation, but I'm doing a course so that I can get better at that." See, they want to find out how self-aware you are. Are we self-aware? Do we know what our greatest need is? Well, to Jesus' audience of Israelites, instead of noticing the petty problems of their fellow Israelites, they needed to realise the huge problem they themselves needed to deal with. And later on in chapter 15, Jesus would say that the problem was not one of human rules and regulations, but a problem of the human heart deep within. This is the log in the eye that needs to be acknowledged. So we read verses 3 to 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Once the log in the eye is acknowledged, it leads away from hypocritical judgment of others towards begging for mercy for oneself. What is a Christian? I wonder how you would answer that. Well, there are many ways that you could answer that question, but a good one is that a Christian is a person who has acknowledged the log in their eye and has begged for mercy. They know that deep down they are rotten and in desperate need of forgiveness, and that the only way to get rid of that log is to run to Jesus for mercy. In the wider context of the Sermon on the Mount, we see an important reason why we are not to be judgmental. Jesus' followers are forgiven sinners who deserve nothing but judgment. As people who are poor in spirit and who mourn over sin, they are those who acknowledge that they have no power to save themselves, that it is only by God's grace that one can be forgiven. We don't deserve it. And so, as forgiven sinners, we are in a much better position to not be over-judgmental to others. In fact, instead of condemning, as those who are judgmental are prone to do, we will be merciful, as the Beatitudes tell us. And indeed, with a right attitude to others, instead of a judgmental, condemning spirit, we will be peacemakers, bringing about reconciliation and forgiveness instead of criticism and division. Now we need to remember too what these verses are not saying. They are not saying do not be discerning. He says that we must be so in verse 6. In verse 15 he says, watch out for false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. And in verse 20 we are told that by their fruits shall we discern whether people belong to Christ or not. It is not saying throw your discerning faculties out the window. But in the one key thing, the need for forgiveness, we need to get ourselves right before we start to work on others. See, let's just for a moment take in the imagery that Jesus uses. Imagine having a whopping big plank hanging out of your eye. And then you go over with this plank hanging out of your eye to get a little speck out of someone else's eye, while all the time not being concerned with that log that is in your own eye. I mean, it's absurd, isn't it? Or even being oblivious to the fact that it is there, and yet that is what many of us do. Now, if we literally had a plank in our eye, how absurd if we didn't pay it much attention, if we weren't concerned for it, or if it had been there that long that we no longer even noticed that it was there. But all the while, we tried to get the speck out of our brother's eye. Friends, get rid of the plank first. Get right with God. Deal with your heart problem. That is the plank. And run to Jesus for mercy. Well, in verse 6, Jesus moves on to the need for discernment. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Now, by use of metaphor, Jesus teaches us to not be undiscerning and not to reject what is of great price. See, the pearl of great price, the pearl here, refers to great teaching. That's how that word was used at that time. Now, the dogs on view here are not your cuddly little puppy variety. There is a movie on at the moment, a French movie, Belle and Sebastian. And I dragged one of my daughters to the first one, and I noticed that the second one is on Netflix, and the third one is out with a good review. But my daughters, they don't like animal good movies with nice cuddly, because they think something bad is going to happen. But this isn't your nice Sebastian dog that you love. But it's talking about wild, vicious dogs with clumps of hair torn out, the mean and lean type that roam in packs and will tear you to pieces given half a chance. So you imagine the picture being conjured up for us. A pack of wild dogs or pigs, mean and lean and hungry, and you throw a bag of pearls to them. They madly go at them, only to discover that they're not food at all. They will soon turn on you and attack you. They just think there's nothing good. And so such is the image of what some people do to the great pearl of the good news of Jesus. What have you done with that pearl? Is it precious? Or have you just rejected it? No respect for it. Not even open up to intellectual discussion of it. For some, they just write it off and use Christianity as fodder for their latest jokes. Well, some people are like that. To such people, the pearls of the gospel are to be kept from. Now, if you are not a believer, don't close yourself off. Don't be a swine that has pearls thrown at them and you don't recognize them for what they are. You don't want to get this wrong. You need to deal with the log. Be willing to see if it really is a pearl that is being offered to you. Well, from verse 7, the topic changes from our relationships to one another and moves to a relationship with the Heavenly Father as it deals with prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Jesus says to his followers and would-be followers, ask, seek, and knock. These commands, these imperatives, they're in the present tense. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. See, the life to which Jesus calls us is a life of renewed communion with God. Now, we cannot look upon these verses as an open checkbook for all that we want. That knock, and it will be open to you, is an open sesame to every closed door without exception. We know that's not true. There are some things we've asked for and we don't get. Lots of things. We can't think that by waving a prayer wand, any wish will be granted and every dream will come true. This is not an Aladdin's lamp scenario. And if it was, well, the wise person would never pray again because they lack the insight to know what is truly best for them. Now, the wider context of the Sermon on the Mount says that the asking has to do primarily with entrance into the kingdom of God. For those who humble themselves and are poor in spirit and acknowledge the log in their eye, God will grant them the undeserved and wonderful privilege of entrance into his kingdom. And so, understood correctly, these verses offer a most comforting word with which we can face all the uncertainties and hazards of life. There is nothing that is more encouraging as we face life with all its ups and downs than to know that Jesus says to you, ask, seek, and knock. And he will answer you as is best for you. This is the one thing that matters in life. Life is a journey full of perplexities, problems, and uncertainties. And what really matters in life is not so much the things that come to meet us and with which we have to deal, but rather our readiness to meet them. It is like the old man Abraham, who we are told was sent out by God, not knowing where he was going. But as wise believers of a previous generation said, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he knew with whom he went. Do you know who you are travelling with as you venture down life's highway? According to the Bible, this is the one thing that matters. Our Lord does not promise to change life for us. He does not promise to remove difficulties and trials and problems and tribulations. He does not say he is going to cut out all the thorns and only leave roses. But he does assure us that we can so know him that whatever happens, we need never be frightened. We need never be alarmed. For if you ask, you will enter into a relationship with him. And then you ask as one of his children who longs to give you good things. And so if you've never done it for the first time, or if you haven't done it for a while, or indeed if you do it every day of the week, keep doing it. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God will give you what you need to live life for him, despite all its curveballs. And in the need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that we are spiritually poor, we can only come to Jesus for that. And so after outlining the radical demands of the kingdom, Jesus says, pray. But what exactly, after that initial prayer for forgiveness and for God to deal with our heart problem, are we asking? Are we seeking? Are we knocking for? Well, it must be, I think, the things that Jesus has outlined in his sermon. A poverty of spirit, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, an attitude of mercy to others, that we might be salt and light to the community around us, that our holiness will be such that we love our enemies as ourselves, that we will store up treasure in heaven and not on earth, that we will not be anxious about our lives, that our righteous living will be done for the right motives. And as we have just seen, that we will not be judgmental, that we will not be hypocritical, and that we might come to Jesus for that pearl of great price. And so, friends, let us ask, let us seek, let us knock, with the promise that we will receive, that we will find, and the door will be opened. Jesus continues with an illustration from verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Again, the metaphor is absurd. A son asks for a fish and he's given a snake. Or he asks for bread and he's given a stone. We just don't do that. Even though we are evil, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Now, if that is the case, how much more will our Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If you are not someone that yet knows Jesus as your Lord, then ask him for mercy and forgiveness, and it will be given to you. Just reach out the hand of faith, and it will be grabbed. And for those of us who have done that, let us not doubt God's good intentions to us. For he gives us good gifts, things that we need to live life in this fallen world. And although difficulties and troubles and sorrow will come our way, as we make our way down that highway of life, we don't know what's around the next corner, but we know who is travelling with us. And so, for the believer and doubters alike, are you prepared to trust God with your life? Are you prepared to trust Him for the big things in your life? And are you prepared to keep holding on to Him, or rather to let Him hold on to you as all the difficulties come? He can be trusted, and He longs to hear our cries. He longs to hear us ask, to seek, and to knock. May we continue to do so. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the pearl of great price, that You can deal with our heart problem, that we can have that plank removed from our eye, the plank of all our sin and our rebellion, and that we can be forgiven so that the slate is clean, so that the page is white, as we saw in our kids' talk earlier. And Father, as forgiven people, we know that You say to us to continue to ask, to seek, and to knock. And although we do not know what life will bring, we know that You are the one that goes with us. And as the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. So, Father, comfort us, we pray, and help us and strengthen us as we walk down that highway with You. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.